All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Tzadik Dalid 94. We are picking up on Tzadik Gimel 93b, Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis. And we are picking up, hopefully you did the homework last night, we are picking up 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom, Omar Abaye. So also remember again, we're dealing with a very interesting sugya here of Shinui Kone or Eina Kone. The issue at play over here is that when a person steals something, again, we're talking about theft, although as we've seen, it doesn't only apply in cases of theft. When a person steals something and the object is changed by the thief or the object itself changes, at what point in time does the change become significant enough that the thief acquires the object and is only obligated to make financial restitution? So remember again, that's the yisod the Mishnah introduced to us, which is the kinds of shinui kone, that if a ganav steals something, and again, either he changes the object himself or the object itself just changes on its own, that lamaisa the thief is kone it and only has to make financial restitution in accordance with the value of the item at the time it was stolen. So Amar Abaye, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Ubei Shammai, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Reb Yishmol, Kulu svir lehu shinui bimkomo ome. So we'll say Abaye says, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Beis Shammai, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and Rabbi Yishmael all hold Shinui bimkomo omeid. Now, we'll say Shinui bimkomo omeid. If you look at Rashi, second last Rashi on the page, bimkomo omeid, ein zaz mirishus baylam harishon avapilu nishtana. They all hold that even when an object changes, an object still remains in the possession of its original owner. So they reject the principle that we were discussing yesterday. And they'll do whatever the type of shino, whatever the change, the object itself still remains in the possession of the original owner. So the Gemara says, so now the Gemara is going to go through each of these positions. So the Gemara says, Reb Shimon Elazar, Reb Shimon Yehuda, Hada Amra. So both Reb Shimon Yehuda, we already spoke about yesterday. Reb Shimon Yehuda was the one who you saw in the senior homework. Reb Shimon Yehuda was the one who said that lamaisa by the reishis hagaz, by the case of where, remember again, in order to be chayiv to pay the first shearings to the kohen, so you have to have enough shearings from 5 sheep. If you sheared, if you sheared the first sheep and then dyed its wool, so again, the first opinion says, well, once you dye the wool, it's no longer subject to the laws of reishis hagaz, and therefore you don't have to give. Reb Shimon Yehuda holds that even if you dyed the wool, still the wools still combine to form the shear, to form the amount. So that's Reb Shimon Yehuda. Beis Shammai Mahi, what's Beis Shammai's case? This Sanya, we'll say, this is an interesting case. Nasan lachitin be'esnano. So we'll say, let's say, Torah speaks out of esnan zona, which means a man pays a harlot for her services instead of in money, but with an object. So the halacha is, you can't use that object for sacrificial purposes. So for example, let's say a man paid the harlot with a sheep. So she can't go ahead. That animal cannot be used as a carbon. So listen to this case. So nasan lachitin be'esnana. So let's say you went ahead and you paid her. Chitin, you paid her wheat, right? For her esnan. Esnan means the payment for the harlot. Va'asan solas. And you made the wheat into fine flour. She made the wheat into fine flour. Or zeisin va'asan shemen. Or you paid her in olives, and she made it into oil. Anavim va'asan yayin. Or grapes, and she made it into wine. So tani chada aser. So we'll say one opinion says that you still can't use these items for sacrificial purposes. V'tanya idach mutter. And the other opinion says that no, that it's mutter. V'omer Rav Yosef. So we'll say, obviously, what's the machlokis over here? The machlokis over here is the object has clearly changed form. So the shaila is, does it still have the status of esnan zona at the time that it changed form or not? That's the fundamental question. V'omer Rav Yosef. Tani Gurion, top of Sadat, we'll say, Tani Gurion de me Aspurak, and Gurion of Aspurak. Gurion is his name, Aspurak is his location, his home. Beshamai Osrin Beisilomatirim. That Beshamai are the ones who say that the object is Aser, that the Esnan Zona is Aser even once it's changed state. And Beisilo say that once it's changed state, that it's mutter. So says the Gemara, second line, Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph, my time the Beis Shammai, what's Beis Shammai's logic? So Amar Kra, Gam Shnehem L'Rabos Shinuyehem. Because Rabos say, interestingly enough, the Pasuk says, Gam Shnehem, also both of them. So according to Beis Shammai, so Beis Shammai says the gam comes to include shinu yehem, that even if the original esnan changes form, it still may not be used for any sacrificial purposes. So Beis Silo will say, so Beis Silo amarkra heim v'lo shinu yehem. Beis Silo on the other hand says, no, the pasuk says heim, that it is only the actual esnan itself, only the object given for actual repayment, that ultimately again counts. Okay, that has the status of an esnan. But if the object itself changes form, then lemaisa the esnan zona status no longer clings to it. Velo shinu yehem beishamai haksiv heim. But what does beishamai do with the word heim? Because remember again, Beisilo uses the word heim to say it's only the actual esnan, only the object used for payment for the zona, that ultimately is usur. But if the object changes form, so we'll say for example, so the grapes become wine or the olives become oil, then lemaisa again it's no longer usur. So what does beishamai do with heim? Sahumi baile heim velo. So Beis Shammai will say the Haim teaches me that it's only the actual esnan itself and not any offspring. As well say, what does that mean? That let's say the man gives the zona a sheep, ultimately again for her esnan, and then the sheep gives birth. The esnan status is only on the sheep itself, but not on the offspring of the sheep. Ubeisilal tarti shamis mine. Beisilal learns out both of these things. Heim velo shinu yehem. Heim velo vladoseyem. Beisilal will say, Heim teaches me that it's only the esnan itself that is usur, but if the esnan changes form, it's no longer usur. And Heim also teaches me that it's only the esnan itself, not the offspring of the esnan. Ubeisilal nami haksiv gam. But according to Beisilal, what does he do with the word gam? So remember, we'll say, Beis Shammai uses the word gam to teach me that what? That even if the esnan changes form, lemaisa again it is still asr. So what does Beis Hillel do with gam? So gam le Beis Hillel kasha. So it's not clear. Beis Hillel doesn't have a good answer what they do with gam, and therefore again that remains a kasha. Okay, in any event, Rabosai, what we've just demonstrated is that Beis Shammai holds shinui bimkomo omeid, which means that even when an object changes form, so ultimately the object still retains its original status. Beis Shammai teaches that concept to us by telling us that if a man pays a harlot for her services with an object, even if that object changes form, the object still has the status of what's called an esnan zona, payment for a harlot, and therefore may not be used for any sacrificial or kodesh purposes. Next, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Mahi. We'll say, where do you see that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds that shinui bimkomo omeid? So the Gemara says, this Sanya, we learned Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. This is another interesting case. Haresha gazal sa'a shechitin, tachna losha va'afa, vehifrish mimena chala. So they asked Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov the following shayla. A man went ahead and stole a sa'a. He went ahead and he stole the sa'a of wheat. And listen to this. He ground it. He kneaded it. And he made it into bread. And now he wants to separate out challah. Or he made it into a dough. Right? The frum ganev. Right? Even Rabbi, by the way, just I want to tell you something. This is an important lesson. Let's say, we all have inconsistencies, internal inconsistencies. That's all of us do. We all have internal contradictions. And just because I'm a ganav doesn't mean I can't separate challah. I'm not condoning it, obviously, but life, Baruch Hashem, Yiddishkeit and Ruchnius is not an all or nothing game. So we all have things that we are terribly I have things I'm terribly deficient on, but that doesn't mean that I'm not capable of performing tov as well. See, here again, so the guy went ahead and he stole the dough, he stole the weed, and he wants to separate achala. So keisa mevarich, so nul, what bracha should he make? So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, what are you talking about? Ein ze mevarich ela menayit. You can't make a bracha, because this such a bracha would not be a bracha, would not be a blessing, rather it would be menayit, literally means like a curse or a degradation. It would be blasphemy. And on this it says that the thief who blesses ultimately degrades HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what do you see from here? First of all, that happens to be how we paskin, that halacha l'maisa, again, that's why you can't make a bracha on a lulav ha-gozel, right? There, anything that's a mitzvah haba ba'aveira, so you can't make a bracha on that. You can't make a bracha on that. But I will say, for our purposes, there's a lot of interesting things actually to speak about with this sugya in general. Rav Ashri, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and Neshas Tshuv Sima Amakim, was asked this kasha in the Kovna ghetto about making a bracha on stolen food. This is mamish, like a halacha l'maisa situation that they were dealing with, making a bracha on stolen food. So there he has an incredible, incredible tshuva where pikuach nefesh and a variety of different things encourages them, of course, to make brachas. In any event, the point for our purposes is that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov teaches us that shinoi bimkomo omeid, that even though I stole grain and I've changed the state of that grain and made it into bread, nevertheless it still retains its status as stolen grain and therefore no bracha. Next, Rabbi Shimon Elazar mahi. What's Rabbi Shimon Elazar? Where do we learn from here? Because we learned, Klal ze Amar Rav Shimon Elazar. Rav Shimon Elazar said the following principle: Kol shevach sheshviach gazlon yado al ha'alyonim. I will say, whatever improvements occurred to the item underneath, when it was under the ownership of the ganav, yado al ha'alyonim. Now, yado al ha'alyonim means he has the upper hand. Which means what? Ratza no tel shvacho, ratza omer lo harei shalcha lefanecha. So we'll say, this is actually an amazing statement. So Rav Shimon Elazar seems to be saying like this: I steal an object, the object appreciates. Object appreciates, whether it appreciates because of something I did or it just appreciates because the value goes up. So I, as the ganav, have the upper hand. What's the upper hand? I could either say, look, I'm going to refund you the value of the stolen item at the time that I stole it, or I'm just giving you back the object. But I, the ganav, have that choice. So the Gemara says, my kamar, what does this mean? Omer Rav Sheish Sachi kamar, hishpicha no tel shvacho. So we'll say, ultimately, if the object, the stolen object, appreciates, so the ganav has the ability to keep the appreciation. Kachosh omer lo, but if the animal depreciates, so the ganav has the ability to say to the owner, harei shalcha lefanecha, okay, I'm giving you back your animal. Give you back your animal. Why? Because the Mosai, even if the animal goes ahead and is weakened, even if the animal is weakened, it depreciates. Lemaisa, again, that animal is still considered to be the possession of the original owner. Shinui bimkomo omeid, and therefore I could just return the animal. Mosai, one second. If it's shinui bimkomo omeid, that the animal, even if it changes, still remains in the possession of the original owner, then what? Yachi, afilu hishbiach nami. If that's the case, that the animal still remains in the possession of its original owner, even if it changes, then what? Then that should be true, even if the animal what? Appreciates or improves, right? Lamaisis belongs to the owner. Oh, to which the Gemara answers, and mostly we're going to spend more time on this, on Amud Beis, Amri, Mipnei Takanas HaShavim. The Bo says, Se'in Achinami, that is correct, but ultimately, again, we allowed the Ganav to keep the appreciation because of Takanas HaShavim. Ultimately, again, in order to facilitate, Tshuva Takanas HaShavim literally means an enactment for the benefit of the penitents. That in order to enable someone to do Tshuva, ultimately we allowed the Ganav to keep the appreciated item. We'll discuss that more in just a little bit. Says the Gemara, so we'll say, Rabbi Shmuel, where do we say that Rabbi Shmuel holds Shinoi bimkomo omeid, that even if an object changes status, it remains in the possession of the original owner. So the sanya, mitzvahs peah, this is really interesting as well. So mitzvahs peah, well, says, remember the mitzvah of peah is to leave a corner of your field up for the aniyim. You don't harvest it, you leave it up for the aniyim. So what's that look? Mitzvahs peah, the hafresh min akamo. So the mitzvah of peah, ultimately, again, is to set aside standing grain. Lo hefresh min akamo, mafresh min ha'omrim. Well, says, if you did not separate out from standing grain, so you leave sheaves, omrim are sheaves, you leave the sheaves over for the poor. Lo hifrish mina omrim, if you did not go ahead and separate out from the sheaves, mafrish mina kri. So we'll say, then you still go ahead and you separate out from the pile. Ad shelo marchu. And this is all before you smooth the pile. Marchu, once you've smoothed the pile, ma'aser, so we'll say, once you smooth the pile, Rashi points out, there's an obligation for ma'aser. So at that point in time, you have to separate out ma'aser first, v'nosein lo. And then you get, and ultimately you go ahead and you dispense it. Mishrom bishmal omra, af mafrish mina isa v'noso. So Rabbi Shmuel says, now listen to this. Even if you didn't separate out peah, and you've actually harvested the wheat, ground the wheat, kneaded the wheat and baked it into bread, you should separate out the amount of that would have been peah from the bread itself. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that shinui bimkomo omeid, that even though, again, everyone's agreeing that the ikar mitzvah of peah is on the standing wheat, even once the standing wheat has fundamentally changed state, nevertheless, what? Nevertheless, the halacha is that the original mitzvah of peah still is upon that wheat, even though now it's no longer wheat, it's not been made into bread. Good, says the Gemara. Amalei Rav Papa Abaye. So Papa said to Abaye, listen, Ichbal kol hani tanai lashmini kebe shamai. So here's the interesting part. Remember how this whole thing started. This started by telling us that there's a machlokis be shamai be silal, and be shamai holds shinui bim komo omid, that even when an object changes form, it still retains its original state. It still retains its original status. And Beis Hillel said, no, it doesn't. When an object changes, its status changes as well. So we'll say, we make the assumption that wherever there's a machlokes Beisham Beisilo, who do we paskin like? Beisilo. So comes along Rav Papa says, I don't understand. Why is the Gemara going through all of this trouble to identify all of these other opinions that paskin like Beishamai, that shinui bimkomo omeid, when bepashtos, that is not the opinion we subscribe to? To which the Gemara says, Amralei, to which Abaye says, Hachi ka'amri, lo nechalku beisham beisilo b'davarze. So to which Abaye said, well, our girsa is that in fact beishamai and beisilo do not have this machlokas. That even though, again, it was Gurion of Isparuk who went ahead and framed this as a machlokas beisham beisilo, in fact, Beis Hillel agrees with beishamai in this case, that shinui bimkomo omeid, to which the Gemara says, Amarava, Mimai, so how do you know? This Dilma Adkan, Lo Kamar Rabbi Shimon Yehuda. So it says, first of all, comes along Rava and says, let's take another step back. How do you know that all of these opinions that you quoted hold in general Shinoi Bimkomo Omeid? Maybe they just hold their respective Shitos in these specific cases because these cases are unique. How so? So Ad Kan Lo Kam Rishim and Yehuda Hasam Ella Betseva. So we'll say Rishim and Yehuda was the one who held in yesterday's case of Reishis Hagaz of the shearings. Maybe he only holds in that case that Ella Betseva Hoil V'Yachol LaHa'aviro Al Yedei Tzafun. So maybe Rav Shimon Yehuda only holds in that case that when you dye the wool still combines to form the shear for the first shearings for the Kohen. In a case of dye, why? Because dyeing the wool is a reversible process. How is it reversible? Because the mice, you could take out the dye with detergent. And maybe Beishamai only holds that in the case of the Esnan Zona, even if it changes state, it still remains an Esnan Zona. Why? Because you're dealing with carbon, you're dealing with sacrificial items, and sacrificial items have a greater sensitivity. And therefore, it's disgusting to use any item that has its root in an Esnan Zona, even if the object has changed state. Furthermore, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that you can't go ahead and make a bracha on stolen bread, on bread that came from stolen wheat, even though the state changed. Why? Because you're making a bracha, and that's called the mitzvah ba avera. Va'ad kan lo kamir b'shemin alazar hasam ela ba'chosha dahadar. Furthermore, Shimon Elazar might only be holding his opinion where what? Where both? Because remember, Shimon Elazar says that the thief has yado al ha'alyona, that if the item depreciates, he could just return the item to the owner and say, here's your object back. Maybe that's only talking about a case where the animal depreciated in a way where it could be restored to its original state. Let's say, for example, he didn't feed the animal appropriately. The animal is malnourished. So the animal could be nursed back to health. So the Gemara says, furthermore, va'ad kan lo kamar b'shmo hasam, ela le'inyan peya, mishum dechsev ta'azov yisera. And maybe Rabbi Shmo holds in the case of peya, that even if you didn't separate out the peya, now it's a loaf of bread, you still have to separate out peya. Why? Because there's an extra word, ta'azov, you're supposed to leave it for the ani. That teaches us that even if you didn't separate it out until the point now that it's bread, you still have to separate it out now. V'chitema. So we'll say, so all the Gemara is making this, so let's follow the flow over here. So there are two things that are occurring. Number one, Gurion of Isparuk was the one who set up this entire discussion as a machlokis beisham and beisilo. Right? That beisilo holds shinu bimkomo ome, that ultimately, again, when an object experiences a change, it experiences a change in status. Beishamai says no, that even when an object experiences a change, there is no change in status. So first of all, now we're saying is it could be that we don't paskin like, or we're not subscribing to Gurion's version, and there is no machlokes Beisham Beisilo. Furthermore, what the Gemara is asking over here is, you quoted all of these opinions that seem to line up with Beishamai, that shinui bimkomo omeid, that even when an object undergoes a change, the status of the object does not change. All the Gemara is pointing out is, it could very well be that all of these opinions mentioned only hold that way in these specific cases, because of specific realities associated with these cases. But lav dafka, that they subscribe to this principle of shinui bimkomo omeid in all cases. So the Gemara says, well, let's take another step back. V'chitema, ligmar mine. Maybe, why don't we say that peah perhaps serves as the paradigm. Maybe peah should serve as the paradigm that indeed shinui bimkomo omeid, that even if an object changes its status or its state, does not. To which the Gemara says, no. Matnos aniyim shiny. It will say gifts to the poor are different. Why? Ki debay Rabbi Yonasan, debay Rabbi Yonasan, my time is Rabbi Shmuel. Why does Rabbi Shmuel hold Rabbi say that's what? That even if you didn't separate out the peah from the standing wheat and you bake the wheat into bread, that you still have to separate out peah from the bread. Why is that? Mishum dekasavar shinui bimkom mishum dekasavar shinui einokona. Is it because ultimately he holds that a change in an object does not change its status? Or maybe he normally does hold shinui kona. And here Rabbah says it's just different. Why? Because the pasuk by peah says the word ta'azov twice. You shall leave it for the ani twice. Maybe that extra ta'azov is coming to teach us that what? Is coming to teach us that you're supposed to leave it for the ani no matter what? No matter what state it's in. So if you did not leave it in standing wheat, you have to separate out from the bread. And if you want to say that Rabbi Shmuel's logic is because he holds shinui doesn't affect change. In other words, that a change in the object does not affect the change in status. Then tazov yisera dekasav rachman alamali. Then why do I need that extra word tazov? Furthermore, v'sulah rabbanon tazov yisera dekasav rachman alamali. And furthermore, according to the rabbanon, why do I need that extra tazov? To which the Gemara says, mi boyle v'chidisanya. I need it for the following. Hamafkir karma v'hish. So we'll say if a person made his vineyard hefker, and he got up the next morning, and what happens? Ubatzra, and he harvested it. So chayiv beperet uba ololos uba shichah bepeya upatim in a meisus. Well, it's an interesting halacha that if someone goes ahead and is mafkir, if I go ahead and I make my vineyard hefker, but the next morning before anyone else had the ability to acquire the vineyard, so what happened? I go ahead and I begin to harvest it. So we'll say the act of harvesting it is considered to be an act of ownership. It's as if I'm reacquiring it. And therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, I'm going to be chayiv in peret, ololos, and shechacha. So we'll say, so peret, ololos, ultimately, again, are essentially the same halachos of leket, shechacha, and peah that apply by a field, just these apply by a vineyard. Upata min ha-maisa. But ultimately, again, it will be pata from maiser. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Halacha, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So we'll say now the Gemara says, the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. And we'll say, Rabbi Shimon Elazar was the one who said that what? Rabbi Shimon Elazar was the one who said that kol shevach shishviach gazlan yado al hal yono. Any appreciation that happens to a stolen object, the thief has the upper hand. Which means that what? That if the object appreciates and the thief wants to keep the object and pay in accordance with the value of the object at the time it was stolen, he's permitted to do so. And similarly, if the object depreciates and he wants to just give back the object, he could say, Hare shal chalef anecha. Here's your object, it's all yours. So remembering in Abosai, so that Rishon Lezer teaches us two things, which is number one, shinoi bimkomo omeid, that ultimately, again, the object itself still remains, even though it changes, still remains the possession of the owner. That's number one. And number two, but I will say, using that logic, what should be the halacha? Using that logic, even if the object appreciates, what should be the halacha? The owner should have it. So why doesn't the owner get it? Takhanas hashavim. Remember again, to facilitate the tshuva of the ganav. So says the Gemara, Umi amar Shmuel achi, the Shmuel really say, the Achavaz Shemin al-Azhar, Va'amar Shmuel ain't shaman al the ganav al gazlon, ela l'nizakin. But Rabbosa, yet Shmuel said the following. Ain't shaman Rabbosa means the following, that the halacha is, look at Rashi for just a moment. In Shaman, Rashi says, "Beperek Rishon." Rambam says, going back to the beginning of Baba Kama. So, Gabi Bailim Metaplin Benevela Amor Shmuel Delinizakin Hu Deshaman Es Hanavela Lenizak Umosef Ale Amazik Atchemashim Lo Nisko Aval Ganav Vegazan Shenat Lo Behema Umeso Kachsha. So also remember again. So Shmuel is of the opinion that let's say in the case of Nezikin, right, my ox damages Reuven's ox, and what happens? And let's say Reuven's ox dies. So the halacha is Shmuel said, that Reuven keeps the carcass, and I am obligated to make up the difference between the value of the carcass and the value of the living animal. So Shmuel said that only applies in the category in situations of damage. But Lamaisa, in cases of theft, if the animal depreciates or the animal dies, so ultimately, again, the ganav can't bring back the carcass to the owner and say, here's the carcass and here's the difference in value. Rather, again, the ganav keeps the carcass and what? Has to pay the full value of the animal ultimately to the owner. Which Rabbi says shows you what? Shows you that shinoi kona, shows you that once an object undergoes a change, that animal becomes the property of the thief, and the thief is obligated to make financial restitution. So bishlama l'rava ki the amar ki. So bishlama l'rava. So this makes sense according to Rava. D'amar ki kamer Shimon Elazar hasam ba'achasha dehader lo kashya. So according to Rava, this makes sense because Rava said that the Shimon Elazar's case was a situation of depreciation that can be reversed, and therefore again ki kamer halacha kamer Shimon Elazar the shinui b'mkoma omid ba'achasha dehader. When do we say that halacha was Shimon Elazar that even though the animal undergoes a change, ultimately it's still the possession of the original owner? That's talking about a reversible change. And when Shmuel says that we do not evaluate the carcass, that's talking about a change that is not, that is irreversible. But according to Shmuel Elazar, who says that according that even Rabbi Shmuel holds, Shimon Elazar holds that Lemaisa, again, it even applies in a case where the change is irreversible. Ma'ika lemeimar. So what is there to say? Abaye masnihachi. So what's Abaye? Therefore, had the following version. Amr Rav Yehuda Mishmuel. We'll say Amr Beis. Rav Yehuda saying Mishmuel. Amr Halachik Rav Shimon Elazar. Velei lo svirale. So we'll say ultimately again, Abaye's version was that the halacha follows. The halacha Abaye's name Mishmuel. That the halacha follows. The halacha follows Rav Shimon Elazar, but Shmuel himself does not subscribe to this. Fine. So we'll say Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan Dvar Torah Gzela Hanishtanis Chozeres Beima. So we'll say Rav Yochanan said that Midaraisa, even if a stolen object is changed, nevertheless it is returned to the owner. So we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Hanishtanis so we'll say Rabbi Yochanan holds that midoraisa, even if a stolen object changes, it is still the property of the original owner, and the thief is obligated to give back the object. Shene'emar, because the pasuk says, ve'heishev es ha'gezela asher gozol. You shall return the object which you stole. Miko Makom. So the Torah seems to tell us that what Rabbo say, if that object is in existence, even if what? Even if what? Even if it's changed, you're obligated to return that object. I have in Torah Mishnah Seinu. But 1 second, so the Gemara is going to say, well, you're going to ask me, what about the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah was explicitly clear that what Rabbo say, that's what? That Lamaisa, once the object changes, it changes status, that it becomes the property of the thief. Right? And ultimately, the thief is only obligated to pay back the money, to which the Gemara says, Mishum Takanas HaShavim. Rabbo say, the Mishnah is reflecting the concept of Takanas HaShavim. Takanas HaShavim, Rabbo say, ultimately means what? Enactment for the benefit of the thief. Remember, we have a vested interest in having the thief do tshuva, and therefore Chazal felt that there's a better probability of the thief doing tshuva if the thief could keep the object and just return the value. Especially in a case where what? Where what? Where either the object itself appreciated or he made changes to the object. To which the Imam Rabbi Yochanan Hakid, Rabbi Yochanan really say this, Va'amar Rabbi Yochanan Allah Hakistan Mishnah. But Rabbi Yochanan said, Allah Chafazah will say, Stan Mishnah. Utnan, and we learned, will say, Stan Mishnah is a Mishnah without attribution, and we learned, Lo Hisfik Litno Lo Achet Savao Pater. And we'll say, we learned that what? Keep going back to the Rashi's Agaz case. The first shearings case, that if the person did not go ahead and give the wool to the Kohen before he dyed it, before the Yisrael dyed it, potter. So Rabbi said the halacha is that the Yisrael is potter from giving the wool to the Kohen. Why? Because the act of dyeing the wool fundamentally changed the wool. So Rabbi said, what do you see from here? You see from here that when you change something, when you physically change something, then what? Its status changes as well. Amalahu hahumid rabbanon. So which he answered, that statement that once you die it, ultimately again you're part of Ramesha Sagaz, that case ultimately is only mid rabbanon. So Asher said, Amalahu hahumid rabbanon. So I say, excuse me. So what have the rabbis said? Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, and Rabbi Yaakov was his name. Lididi mefarshili minei Rabbi Yochanan. I heard this explanation of Rabbi Yochanan. Kegon shegazel itzim meshupin va'asam kalim. That the Mishnah's case is actually, we'll say, talking about the following situation where what? Where you went ahead and you stole planed wood. I don't know if that's the right, for phraseology of it. Wood that had already been planed, sanded. Va'asam kalim. And then you made that wood into utensils. So we'll say, we saw this yesterday. And what is that considered? That is called the reversible change. Meaning, the Mishnah makes the assumption that if the wood was already sanded down at the time it was stolen, and therefore essentially I'm just building it into a utensil, the assumption is that's a reversible change. Why? Because you could just pull the utensil apart. So I guess the easiest way to illustrate this, would be you stole a bunch of boards and you made from them a bench. And for argument's sake, again, I didn't have to saw anything or do anything, I just had to hammer it together. Lemaisa, that is a reversible change. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is, we're going to spend some time on this, but the Gemara is suggesting is the following. Rabbi Yochanan is suggesting that Lemaisa, Mida Oraisa, if the object that you stole is still in existence, even if it's changed state, you still have to return it. It's midrabanan that we say you don't have to return the object. You could keep the object ultimately again and only return the value. Why? Takhanas hashavim. Special rabbinic enactment in order to enable and facilitate tshuva. On the other hand, we have now a different version, and therefore the Mishnah is reflecting this rabbinic statement. The Mishnah says that if you stole something and you changed it, you could keep it, and you just have to pay kshas hagzela. Midrabanan. Correct.
Even if it's not reversible?
Oh, it's correct. Even if it's not reversible, correct. Well, the bigger chiddush is even if it is reversible, because the second opinion will say that no, lemaisa. When do we say that shinui kona? That's only with an irreversible change. But if there's been a reversible change, then ultimately you're obligated to give back the object. So these are still the two different versions of the mission. So we'll say now we're going to see it. And I never stop being amazed by the way that the Hashgacha practice works with the Daf. That the way Rabbi say that certain sugyas always align with certain calendrical realities. Get ready for this. We're about to do the sugya of tshuva. The sugya of tshuva, Rabbi say. Shabbos, Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, we're about to begin the sugya of tshuva. Sometimes, people look for signs in life. Like, am I going down the right path? Am I not going down the right path? It's clear that we're all supposed to wake up at ungodly hours in the morning to be able to be here and learn Torah together. It's just this incredible. Tan Rabban, let's say it's mamish like getting a kiss on the head from the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what it's like when you get a sugya like this. It's incredible. Tan Rabbanan. Hagazlan is actually really amazing. Hagazlanim umelabe beridis. So let's listen to this. Thieves and people who lend with interest. So let's say now a person who lends with interest is also considered to be, we're going to see, is a ganav, is a thief. Right, this is talking about illegal interest. I'm not talking about, first of all, technically you can lend a Gentile with interest. And I'm not talking about like a heter iska. That's obviously, that's not ribis. People who literally just lend with interest. Sheikh Ziru, get ready for this. They will say, now what happens? Now, let's say they want to become Bali Tshuva. The Ganav wants to do Tshuva. Or the Malav, the person who lends with interest, wants to do Tshuva. Aim Mekablin Mehen. They will say, get ready for this. Somebody steals something from me. Or somebody lent me money with interest, and now they want to return the interest, they want to return the stolen object. The halacha is, I'm not supposed to accept the stolen object from them. In other words, I'm supposed to say thank you, but you can keep the ribis. Thank you, you can keep the stolen object. The amakamo man, and I will say somebody who goes ahead and accepts these items back from the ganav, or from the malave beribis, ein ruach chachamim nochehemenu. We'll say the rabbis are not happy with you if you accept back the stolen object or if you accept back the ribbis. Look at Rashi. We'll say what this means is such a person who accepts back these objects, these items, the spirit of wisdom and of piety does not exist within him. Okay, so we have to understand this. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Bimei Rebbe Nishnas Mishnah Zu. Rabbi Yochanan says, by the way, this teaching was taught in the days of Rebbe. Now, whether that means this is only applicable to the generation of Rebbe, or it was made in the times of Rebbe, but it applies even till today. We'll see in just a moment. This Sanya, get ready for this. Listen to this story. There was once a man who wanted to do tshuva. I will say, by the way, this is the way each of our personal narratives begin. Once upon a time, there was a man, insert your name here, who wanted to do tshuva. Amar lo ishto, Reka, his wife said to him, "You fool, you fool." No, this part doesn't apply. This part doesn't apply. just first part of lies. Just the first part of lies. Amar lo ishto, Reka, em ata ose tshuva, afilu avneit eno shelcha. So apparently this guy was a career thief. And his wife said to him, you fool, wonderful that you want to be pious now. You fool, if you do tshuva and you start returning all of your stolen objects, you're not even going to own your own belt. And therefore, the nimna below asa tshuva. Therefore, I will say, what happens? He didn't do tshuva. I will say, I just want to point, there's two pieces to this story. He didn't do tshuva for two reasons. Number one, A, because it was too hard, because he realized that at the end of the day, if I have to turn my life upside down, it's difficult to do tshuva. And I will say something else. Right. And I will say, when you don't have people who believe in you in life, when you don't have people who believe in you, it's very difficult to affect change. So that's important, because sometimes we never realize the chizuk we give other people with just words of encouragement. You know, you never know how much someone else is struggling. You give someone else a couple of words of chizuk, a couple of words of encouragement. You never know. A lot of people go through life and they have no one in their corner. They have no one advocating for them. They have no one pushing them. They have no one believing in them. You give someone just a few words of encouragement, you never know what that could do for them. So this guy decides not to do tshuva. He's got a wife who doesn't believe in him. And also the reality is, his lifestyle is so upside down that for him to get out of this life, he's going to, pretty much what his wife is saying is, for you to become a Baal tshuva is going to mean financial ruin. So he doesn't do tshuva. So what happens? Ba'osa shah amru. In that moment, they legislated, ha'gazlanin umalavi ribi osher, zira emakablin mehen, that gazlon and thieves, and those who go ahead and lend with interest, if they show up at your door and they want to do tshuva and they want to return the objects, the stolen objects or the ribbis, don't accept it from them. We'll say, now why don't accept it from them? Don't accept it from them because if you don't accept it from them, then what? This will enable them to do tshuva because they won't have to suffer a financial loss. And someone who goes ahead and accepts the objects back from them, the rabbis are not happy with such an individual. We'll say, by the way, do you understand the godless in this halacha? You know what? So let's play this out. I know what you're thinking. What are you thinking? So that guy's ruchnius, the ganas ruchnius, should hit me in my wallet. It's very nice. He wants to do tshuva. That's great. He stole from me. He stole my watch. Hey, so now what you're telling me is when he shows back up at my house and he says, "I'm really sorry I stole your watch," I'm supposed to say, "It's okay." Right? It's okay. You know, use it to buy yourself a new set of new Mesilas Yesharim. You know, you could use it. Right? You know, what is it? We'll say, what do you see from here? Now again, we'll see the halacha l'maaseh applications. We see from this that it is in a Jew's best interest that his fellow Jew does tshuva. I'm not losing money. I'm making an investment in the neshama of a fellow Yid. And I will say, that is the most incredible investment a Jew can make. So I am not losing anything. I'm choosing to invest my money in a different way. And it is in the best interest of me, the grief party. It's the best interest of the community. It's the best interest of the klal to invest in this individual that he should become a Baal Tshuva. So it's not a loss, just fakir. But say there is no greater investment in life you can make than investing in another Jew. And Rebbe legislated this lahalacha. We'll see again how it applies today. So the Gemara goes back to Mesa. Is this true? Listen to this. Reuven dies, and he left behind for his children money, ill-gotten gains. Right? Ribis money. So I'll say, even though the kids know that it's ribis, they're not obligated to return it. To which the Gemara says, in hu delo. The children aren't chayv to return it. But if the father was alive, he would still go ahead. If the father was alive, he would be obligated to return it. So we'll say, what do you see from here? That if somebody lent with interest, they are are obligated to return the money. To which the Gemara said, "Bedin hu daviim nami eno chayv lahachzir." In reality, even the father is not obligated to return it. V'hadik tani bedido. So why does it say that the kids aren't obligated to return? I mean, in other words, if the father's not obligated, then of course the kids aren't obligated. Mishum dekabay lemisni seifa. Because the Gemara wanted, or the Mishnah wanted to create symmetry. Because what did the Seifa say? He niach lam aviyem parav etalas kol davar mesuyim chayav al ha'akzir mipnei kavod aviyem. Rabbi said that if the father died, and let's say the father had stolen an object, and everyone knows the object is stolen and it's still in existence, that the children are obligated to return, alts covered for their father. So also, let's say Reuven stole a cow before he died, and then he died, and then he died, and that cow is mamish sitting in the field of the Yarshim. The Yarshim are obligated to return that stolen object. Why? Because that's covered of their father. Because as long as that stolen object is walking around and people know that's the cow that Reuven stole, it's a lack of covered for their father. That's when they're obligated to return it. Therefore, again, so because the Seifa talks about their obligation, therefore the Reisha talks about their obligation as well. And is that true that because of the covered of their father, they'd be obligated to return a stolen object? We'll say the Torah says, that a prince or a king or a leader in your nation, you shall not curse. Now, we'll say, now the Gemara understands this to mean, what kind of person can't you curse? Ba'osem ma'asa amcha, when someone conducts himself in accordance with the ways of Klal Yisrael. In other words, we'll say that in general, and again, this is a much more complicated topic, which we're only giving very minimal attention to right now. But the idea is I'm only obligated in certain halachos of kavod to a fellow Jew who conducts himself in an appropriate way, right, as a Jew. But lemaisa, again, if Reuven stole, who says that his children have an obligation to preserve his kavod after his death by going ahead and returning the stolen object? To which the Gemara says, Kid Amarav Pinchas, both in other words, that at a certain point in time, if a person doesn't care enough about his own covet to go ahead and act within the confines of the Torah, then who says that others have the obligation to preserve his covet, especially and even his children, to which the Gemara says, what's the case? The case is where Reuven did tshuva. Reuven did tshuva. He still has ready did tshuva. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. He asa tshuva, my boy gabe, I boy li lahadure. Rabbi says, so if he did tshuva, so why exactly is that stolen cow still sitting in his front yard? Rabbi says, by the way, which is an incredible yisod, that a person has to understand that if a person is going to do tshuva, so things got to change. Right? And if things don't change, then lemaisa, again, it's not tshuva. So how can you tell me that Reuven is about tshuva if the cow is sitting and grazing in his front yard? He did tshuva, but he didn't get to fully complete it before he died. Right? The Rebbe said, this is shuv yom echad lifnei misasecha. Right? Lifnei mosecha. Right? Repent one day before that. The Rebbe said, there's no time because we don't know how much time we have on this earth. Reuven did tshuva, he began the process of tshuva, but he died before he could complete it. Tashma, hagazlonin umalave beribis afapi shegavu machzirin. So we'll say the halacha is that gazlonin and malive beribis, so those who steal and those who lend with interest, even though again they've already collected these amounts, they're obligated to return them. Gazlonin mashegavu ika, igazel gazel, ilo gazel, lo gazel. We'll say, what does this mean by a gazlon, the amount that he collected? Either he stole or he didn't stole. Elo, emaha gazlonin, the thieves, umaynihu, which thieves are we talking about? Malave beribis. We'll say, we're talking about people who lend with interest. In other words, we thought originally that gazlonin and malave beribis are two different people. In reality, it's the same group of people. Those who lend with interest are considered to be thieves. So what's the halacha? Afa pi shagavu, even though they've already collected the interest, they're obligated to return it. Amri machzirin vei makalim mehen. Elam asur. So say, ask the Gemara, why have you stopped the situation? So remember again, you're telling me that the gazlan, the thief, the one who lent with interest, is obligated to return the money. But what did we just say before? What did Rebbe legislate? What did Rebbe legislate? That halacha lemaisa, again, you're not supposed to accept the interest repayment from the gazlan. So if I already know I can't accept it, and the gazlan presumably also knows that I can't accept it, so why lemaisa again is the gazlan obligated to try to repay me if he knows, if we both know that that I'm not allowed to accept repayment? Must listen to this. Alam machzirin lotzeis yidei shamayim, because Rabbi said part of the tshuva of the gazlan of the malave beribis is what? To go through the motions of trying to return my money to me. Even on Lamaisa at the end, I'm not going to accept it. I mean, we'll see Halach Lamaisa. We'll see in tomorrow's daf what we do today. But even though Lamaisa, I'm not going to accept it. Nevertheless, again, the Ganav is obligated to try to make that restitution. Part of his tshuva is coming to me, is facing me, is accepting responsibility for what he's done. And the incredible chizuk I give him when I say, I believe in you, Gazlan. I mean, I don't say it like that. But, you know, I believe in you, Baal Tshuva. I believe that you could turn your life around. Haraya, I'm giving you startup capital, right? I'm investing in your new personality. I'm investing in your new Baal Tshuva status. So even though I can't accept it, the Ganav still has the obligation to go ahead and still try to make the overture to go ahead and return the money and ultimately begin the process of turning himself around. We'll stop over here for today. I'm going to share with you just a short idea on the parasha.